Scott with SJ, wildfire.com. Hey, I'm pleased to announce Pastor Larry. We've talked a little bit about Pastor Larry and his Bible study. He's been studying Ephesians 6 for the last 3 to 4 years.
And we have a review last week. Oh, good day, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Brother Larry. May God find you doing his will. May he find you with the desire to know him better. And I pray that you do. Let's have a word of prayer before we start. I've been neglecting that, and that's not a good thing, we all know. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, give me clarity of speech. Father, I sometimes stumble. I know what I want to say. But Lord, I stumble. Help me with clarity of speech because, Father, I want to glorify you in these messages. Pray for the listeners. Father, give them ears to hear. They may be hearers and they may be listeners. They may be doers, as James has said. Father, we know that your Holy Spirit is a great teacher. Teach us, O God. We will know your ways. And Father, I understand that Scripture makes a difference. Your word will not return unto you void, as you have said, but it will accomplish what you have intended it to do. Lord, may your word mold us and make us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, so others can see us. And that's what we're going to talk about today, that others may see us, Father, that we may glorify you who is in heaven, that we may conquer the wiles of Satan, who is after us to get to you. Help us, Father, to overcome. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for listening, and if these broadcasts help you out, and I pray that they do. And if you'd like to drop me a message, you'll have to email Scott, because I don't have an online email like this. So email him, and I'd love to try and get back to you. I'd love to know how you're listening to this. Even if it's criticism, that's fine. Maybe I can make some adjustments in that. There's some things I will not compromise on, and that's the Word of God. So, but I may be bad in my addresses, in my speech. So I look for your help, your criticisms. So we talked last week about having the right mindset, having the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, as it said, that first of all, let me back up, that we don't want to live according to the flesh, because those who have their mind set on the flesh, as the scriptures say, but that's on the worldly way. So we're talking about loving not the world. So those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. And like I said, if you get yourself alone and nobody to talk to and you're thinking, what do you think about? That tells you a lot about ourselves. What do we think about when we're alone? Do we think about the things of God? So the mind that's ruled by the flesh is death to our spiritual life. We must have a mind that's ruled by the Spirit of God. So we need to be faithful. We need to be watchful. We need to stand firm in the faith. Because our Lord commanded this. We need to watch over ourselves. And there's plenty of examples of watchfulness and being alert in the physical world. Just recently, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. Now, you know what? I'm very watchful of what I eat. I know I exercise. I have a routine now. At least I try to. My lifestyle has changed drastically. I monitor my glucose levels with a monitor. Look at my weight, which is up and down. You know, bad results happen with chronic blood sugar. We all know that. and it can render you physically sick. An inoperative, sometimes deadly. So I have to watch and I have to be alert if I want to stay alive. Isn't this so with our spiritual world, brothers and sisters? Let's be honest with ourselves. Where are we? Are we attending to our spiritual life? Sometimes we tend to our physical life more than we do our spiritual life. We exercise, we want those guys, we want those bulging muscles. But how much attention do we attend, do we watch for in our spiritual life? How much attention do we give to it? Now I'm calling, brothers and sisters, from the bottom of my heart today, for all of us, including myself, all believers in Jesus Christ, to be vigilant, to be watchers, or simply, biblically stated, wake up. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus said to his disciples that fell asleep when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, wake up, Christ has made us alive in the spirit. That's what I read last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 6 through 16. Christ has made us alive in the spirit. Let us walk that way. He has given us his spirit, as we read in those passages. By not being aware and alert in our spiritual walk, we give the devil a foothold into our lives. And a lot of times it doesn't take much. A little look at this, a little glance at this, a little listening to this, a little doing this. Sometimes we give the devil a foothold. Remember in Vietnam to get up these slippery slopes of some of these hills and mountains we were climbing, to the men who were behind us, we'd have somebody go up before them and he'd dig footholds and handholds into the side of the hill so we could all could get up the hill. Well, that's what happens when we give in to our fleshly desires, or we give in to the world. We make a handhold for Satan to climb right in and to climb right up. And we don't want to do that. And none of us want to do that. But if we ignore our walk with Christ, it gives Satan that place or that foothold in our lives. And if we are still worldly as believers, as Paul said, we are still infants in Christ. That's what the scriptures say. The worldly things that Paul listed for a Christian is this. Here's how you know if you're worldly or not. Jealousy, quarreling, competitiveness. Listen to what Paul says. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another say, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? So let us watch over ourselves. I do not want to be called a worldly Christian. I'm sorry. I don't want to live by the world's standards. I don't want to do what the world does. I've lived there. I've been there. I know what it's like, and it leads to nowhere. We want to be in the Spirit, as the Bible says. So let's watch ourselves. We're not living by the world's vain philosophies that appeal to our flesh or our carnal minds. Satan can use as a foothold and begin to climb through our lives. You know, I'm sure, and I don't want to, but I'm sure all of us do. We do not want to drag our Savior's name through the muck and mire of this evil world. Listen to Paul again in the same passage I just read. He says, "For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession. Like those condemned to die in their arena, we have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as human beings." Brothers and sisters, listen to what Paul just said. He was being made a spectacle. It's a procession. You are on display, just as the Apostle Paul is on display. Now, will we live like those who are called to be holy? Are we going to live as God's dear children? Are we mindful of who we represent? In this darkened world, God has put us on display. And so Paul says in Ephesians 5:15, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," which means to walk carefully and accurately, and watch how you live, not as wise, but as unwise. And he also says, "Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." And more so today, folks. "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the Lord's will is." So Paul is saying, pay attention, watch, be aware of your life. Live in God's will for your life. Let your life shine forth for all to see the glory of Christ. The scripture state about Moses that he decided that the will of God is far better than the sins of the flesh. And this is found in Hebrews 11. "It is far better than money or the riches of Egypt. It is far better the pride of life." He was the son of Pharaoh. "That he would rather suffer for God's will than live in the darkness of the Egyptian world." So how are we doing on this? So how are we doing? I speak here personally now. Do you want to? There's something wrong with many Christians. Want to. Do you want to live for Christ? Do you want to be sold out to Him? God will not force us to do anything we don't want to do. He gives us a free will, a strong free will. He's looking for those few, like the Marines, looking for a few good men. But God is looking for those sons and daughters of His that say, "Forsaking all, I take Jesus Christ. Forsaking all, I will follow Him. I will get rid of my own desires that are contrary to the spiritual life. I will get rid of those things that stand in the way of my holiness walk with the Lord Jesus." If you do that, we're going to read some passages. But first of all, emphasize the want to. Ask God to give you the want to. Ask God to give you the desire. Ask God to give you the place where you would seek Him and to know Him better. And as we get to back to the book of Ephesians, and that's the whole argument that Paul presents. As we get to chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, it talks about who God is and what He's done for us. That should give us the seeking and the want to. If it doesn't, there's something wrong with our souls. Knowing what Jesus Christ has done for us, it should motivate us to give ourselves to Him totally, without reservations. So the will of God is far better than the sins of the world. That's a dead-end road, folks. If you're not a Christian and you're listening to this, and you think that your life is joyful and content, and you jump from one thing to the next, because really the reason is because you're not finding fulfillment. You always got to be on the go. You always got to look for something new. You always got to live on the edge. Maybe you're just not being fulfilled. And maybe you just need this fulfillment that Jesus Christ offers. Because the scriptures teach that only God can give that fulfillment, that satisfying fulfillment and joy. Joy that we know Him, that we are heaven bound, that He cares for us, that He loves us. And He tries to keep things that would hurt us, keep those things away from us. So, beloved, we need to take a stand as Moses did. We need believers who have given themselves over to Jesus Christ, who want to be a light in this dark world. Think if every Christian would be like that. Think if every Christian would have that desire in their heart. We would turn this world right side up, because it's right side down now. We would turn it right side up. We would send Satan scurrying, running away from us. As it stands right now, he's having a field day with believers, deceiving them with the world, with the flesh, with the lust of the eyes. I mean, just walk into a lot of churches and that's what you see. We could change the world if every Christian was a watcher, that he was vigilant over himself. He was watching things. He was watching things that were from the Word of God instead of watching TV all the time. I'm going to tell you, folks, Hollywood stands opposed to what you believe. If you're a believer, it stands opposed to what you believe. Why do we tolerate it? I know I'm just as guilty as you all are. Please let Christ have that reign over us and over what we see and what we watch and what Christ stands for as opposed to the world. We could change the world if we incline our heart without a reservation to obey Jesus Christ. So let me just read a few passages here. Is this your heart? Is this my heart? Let me read just a few passages on seeking the Lord. Psalm 9:10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for the Lord has not forsaken them that seek thee. Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Is that the desire of my heart? Is that the desire of your heart? To see the beauty of the Lord, to know that one day you'll stand before Christ and see him as he is? Is that the desire of your heart, or are you too comfortable down here? May God not make us comfortable. May he make us uncomfortable. If we are that way, if we are seeking the things of the world and not seeking the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what will make a difference in your warfare, my friend. That's what will make a difference in my warfare. By seeking God, Satan cannot stand that. He attempts to keep you from that. He wants you to seek pleasures that the world affords. But if thou from now on shall seek the Lord thy God, you shall find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's Deuteronomy 4:29. That's from one of the passages that Jesus quoted in one of the greatest commandments, or the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, heart, mind, and body, and the neighbor as thyself. Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want of any good thing. God's, my friend, is out for your good. Seek Him. Seek Him. Seek Him. He is out for your good, not for your harm. Surrender yourself to Him. Give yourself to Him. Oh, I pray that we all would do that. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's that diligence again. Diligently seek Him. Psalm 119, verse 2, blessed. You want to be blessed? You want to be joyful as a Christian? Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart. Notice how that whole heart pops up quite often. Your whole heart, I think it's 9 times in just Psalm 119 where that whole heart or all your heart comes up. Just one more verse, and then we're going to stop for the day. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Let me not wander from Thy commandments. Throughout all of the Psalms, you can sense the writer's passion, my brothers and sisters, for God. Finding out His ways. David, the Psalm writers and David were all obsessed with finding out the ways of God. His blessings. And the writer's souls in the Psalms seem to be one with God. How's their soul doing? Do we seek to be one with God? To have unbroken fellowship with Him? I pray, my brothers and sisters, that we do. This is the best armor that you can put on against the wiles of the devil. Thank you for listening. God bless you, brothers and sisters.